Good morning. As PB said, my name is Tyler Briggs, and I get the privilege to serve here as the community director for the Fort Worth campus and also lead Equip Disciple, which is a great ministry to burst into if you ever feel like doing that. Hey, it's okay. Hey, I love you, PB. I want to introduce you to my nephew, Kessler. I think I have a quick picture of him. Some of you may have met him before. I've talked about him once. Isn't he a cutie pie? Look at that. He wouldn't appreciate me calling him a cutie pie either. He's a little tough guy. Well, this picture's from a couple years ago. I went down to Southeast Texas, where I'm from, to watch him play youth basketball. And watching youth sports to me is just incredibly entertaining and amusing. It usually ends up where you've got one kid who's a little more athletic and faster than everybody else who gets the ball, and they're doing all the work, and everybody else is just kind of following them around wherever they go. Well, in one particular game, that little athlete on the team, he was just scoring a bunch and doing all this stuff, and he was kind of the ball hog, and the coach knew, like, hey, if we want to win, we can just give this kid the ball the whole time. Well, there's one play where he shoots, and he actually missed. And when he misses, kind of bounce off the rim, and another kid on the team gets the rebound, and like it's like he's never touched the ball before. And all of a sudden, he realizes, oh, I can score. Like, I can do something here. And so it was an offensive rebound from his teammate, but when he gets it, in his excitement, he turns around, and he starts dribbling the other way. You already know what's coming here. He starts dribbling the other way, and it's like nobody's chasing him, which is kind of weird. And his coach kind of steps out on the court and says, hey, turn around, turn around, turn around. But he's so excited that he can score and be successful to do what he's supposed to do as a basketball player. He's just locked in, and he's going. And now his coach is no longer just kind of nudging him. He's saying, turn around. And his teammates are saying, turn around. And the other team is like, we're going to let him go. People in the stands are saying, turn around, but he keeps going, and he gets to the other end, and he's like, you can see it. The closer he gets to the goal, the bigger the smile on his face gets, and he shoots, and it goes up, and it hits the backboard and off the rim, and then the other side, and then it spins, and it goes in, and he just goes, yes! And everybody else does what you did, and they go, oh. And in that moment, he realized that he scored in the wrong basket. And what I love about that story is, it really relates to us in a lot of ways, because we're not playing a little game. We're not in youth sports. We're in life. But what can happen is oftentimes we will adopt a purpose in life that leads us to be successful in the wrong things, that leads us to be successful in the wrong areas. And so I want to talk to you this morning about our purpose in life. So, you know, you get one call to get up and teach once a year, and you pick one of the biggest topics you can possibly tackle. So we're going to talk about our purpose in life, and here's why it's important. I don't want you to think about a little kid on a court. I want you to think about your life, and I want you to think about what direction you're headed and what type of success you're pursuing. And I want you to think about, as we talk about it this morning, are you being successful in the right thing? Are you living out the right purpose? And so specifically, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at where we find our purpose, what that purpose is, and then where do we get the power to accomplish that purpose. And if we need to understand this, because if we don't, we're going to get to the end of our days, and we're going to look back, and we're going to let out a big sigh, because we're going to realize we were scoring and being successful in the wrong things. We don't want that to happen. So there's an easy place that we can look. And so this morning, we're going to look into God's Word, specifically in Matthew chapter 28. I'm using the NASB translation. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. This is the Great Commission. If you've been around the church for a while, this is a foundational passage for what we believe and what we do. If not, this can be, hopefully this will become a verse that spurs you on in life to live out the right purpose. And so I'm going to read through it, and then I want to set up the context of what's going on. And so Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20 says this, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age.'" And so within this text, there's three things. It talks about where we find our purpose, what that purpose is, and where the power for our purpose comes from. And so Jesus starts off, and in verse 18, he comes up to his guys and he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And so what's about to happen? Let me set up the context for this. The entire Gospel of Matthew, this entire account, leads up to this very moment. So Matthew writes this to tell the disciples, to tell the new church, the early church, to tell us, hey, this is your purpose. But he doesn't start off by just giving them their purpose. He starts off by saying, here's the foundation of where that purpose comes from. And what Jesus tells his disciples, he says, all authority has been given to me, which he tells them essentially is, hey, I get to pick your purpose. So the first point this morning is Jesus picks your purpose. Jesus gets to pick your purpose. And so the first thing that came to my mind as I was thinking about this, the first question that came up was, why does he get to pick? Like, it's my life. Like, why don't I get to pick what my purpose is? And so let me tell you, like, as I was reading this too, I was thinking, like, if I was sitting there and Jesus came up and he says, all authority has been given to me, and so I get to pick the purpose of your life, I would have said, hold on. Why do you get to do that? Why don't I get to do that? The disciples didn't interrupt him. And let me tell you why they didn't interrupt him, because they knew he had the authority. And this is why they know. Like, if I was to say, hey, why don't I get the authority? All right, and you may be thinking, why don't I get to pick what my purpose is in life? Here's why. Like, the person with authority gets to pick. And this is why Jesus has the authority to do so. It's because, like, he created everything. Like, God was the architect of this universe, and Jesus was the builder. He created it all. And then when we rebelled against him, he became a man. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life that we never could. I mean, like, he never did anybody wrong. He never sinned against anyone. And then he performed tons of miraculous healings. He walked on the water. He stilled the sea. He claimed to be God. He spoke as one who had authority. And then he even said, he's like, hey, I'm going to get a few men. I'm going to invest in them and give them the purpose to carry on my work when I'm gone. And as proof to them, they're going to see all that I've just said that I've done. And not only that, I'm going to prophesy that I'm going to be crucified and that I'm going to rise again. And you know what happened? He was crucified and he rose from the grave. When you do those things, you get to have authority. It's like, he just has it. So the question is not, does Jesus have authority to pick our purpose? The question is, will we choose to acknowledge his authority in our life to define the purpose of our life? It's a question that all of us have to answer. And so he has the authority because he has God. If you want authority to choose, all you have to do if you want to pick your purpose is everything that I just mentioned. So you should be able to knock it out by the end of the week, right? Not a chance. Like, only God could do that. And Jesus is God. And as God, he gets to pick the purpose of our life. So I coached football for a little bit. So I've coached anywhere from youth to middle school to high school and had a great time doing it. If you're in Texas for more than one fall, you've probably seen at least one game of football. Here's something that's never happened as I was coaching. So I would get to play. I'd figure out what play we wanted to run. And I would get the quarterback over on the sidelines. And I would give the quarterback the play. And I would send him in to relay that play to the rest of the team in the huddle. So the quarterback would run in. This is what has never happened. The quarterback kneels down. He gives the play. And then everybody in the huddle says, whoa, you don't want to run that play. I want to run a pass. I want to do a run. I want to do a sweep. I want to do a dive. And then they break the huddle, and all 11 players run a different play all at the same time. That has never happened. You know why that's never happened? Because everyone knows that they're not going to be successful as a football team to fulfill their purpose, which is winning football games, if they all decide to do their own thing. They know that we all have to be aligned under a common authority, running a common play so that we can accomplish a common purpose. And so that's Christ. Like, very cliche, like, Jesus is the quarterback of our life, but he is. And, like, his authority doesn't come necessarily from itself. It comes from the Father through him to us. And just as players on a football team run plays, disciples make disciples. And so what happens is when players decide not to do that, they're not successful to fill out their purpose. Like, they lose their ability to fulfill their purpose when they don't acknowledge the authority of the coach. And in the same way, when Christians, when believers forget their purpose, they lose their power to accomplish that purpose. And it all starts with the foundation of the authority of Christ in our life. And so Jesus picks our purpose. And so Jesus gathers all of those men around. He gives them the foundation for their purpose. He declares his authority, and then he gives them that specific purpose. And this is what he tells them. He says, he keeps going to verse 19, and he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." So point two is simply this. Jesus says, hey, your purpose is to make disciples. Your purpose is to make disciples. And so I bet they responded, they were thinking, if I was sitting there, I'd be like, well, that sounds really simple. Like, you spent 3 years with us. That's all you want us to do? It's not more complicated than that? Like, no. Just as your purpose is to make disciples. So in order, just as like players run plays, disciples make disciples. And so I want to be very clear on this point. Like, making disciples is not what brings you to salvation. Your salvation is the reason you make disciples. It's because of who you are. It's what you do. And in order to be a disciple, in order to make disciples, you must first be a disciple. So you have to make the decision. And all it takes to be a disciple is to make the decision. Is Jesus who he said he was? Like, is it true? Was he God? Did he become a man? Did he die for the forgiveness of our sins? Did he rise again? And if so, do I place my faith in all that for my salvation? If so, you are a disciple, and therefore your purpose in life is to make disciples. And that's the greatest question that you can answer, is if you are a disciple. And so the next thing to look at would be then, like, if our purpose is to make disciples, how do we do that? And he tells us, he says, hey, simply to make disciples, all you have to do is to teach people to obey. Teach people to walk in obedience to my commands. Okay? Teach people to walk in obedience to my commands. Well, how do we do that? Well, how did Jesus do it? Through a relationship. So if we look at the life of Christ, he didn't try to have a relationship, a deep relationship with everybody he encountered, but he had a few. He chose 12. And with those 12, he spent an enormous amount of time for 3 years. And in those 3 years, he didn't just give them sermons. Like, he got to know them. He got to know what they did for a living in their vocation. He got to know the desires of their heart. He got to know what struggles they were experiencing. He got to know what the victories they experienced in their life. And along the way, he taught them. He told them, hey, this is what it looks like to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And he didn't just tell them about those things. He showed them. And he said, hey, it's not about your outward behavior. It's about your heart. It's about the condition of your heart before the Lord. And as he told them those things, he modeled for them what it looked like to walk in obedience to Christ. And after he modeled it for them, he said, now I want to send you out to go and try and do the same. And he would send them out. They would come back together. When they got back together, Jesus would talk about, well, hey, tell me what happened. And then he would celebrate their faithfulness. Sometimes he would have to correct them for errors or for where they went wrong. Sometimes he would I get to teach them about how to take it a step further. But all that came through a relationship. All that came through spending time with them. He spent 3 years, an enormous amount of time with 12, and the reason he did is so that they could continue the purpose that he gave them or that he came for when they were gone. And so our purpose is to make disciples. And so it's like I was thinking about this, like what does it take to really teach someone to obey? And I got to thinking about Lila. My wife and I just had our first kid about 9 months ago. So here's a little picture of sweet Lila Rose. Exactly. Okay. Now don't get lost in her cuteness. I need you to stay tuned in right here. So that's little Lila Rose, and she is cute as can be. But if my wife and I don't build a relationship with her and teach her what it looks like to obey her parents and more importantly, to walk with Jesus, she's going to be a terror to herself and to others. And as cute as that looks, I've seen that side of her already coming out last night. What would never work? And what would be crazy? And all of you would tell me that I was a terrible parent if I did this. If I went on Amazon, opened up my Prime account, and started looking for books on parenting. And then I got all the best podcasts and all the best DVD curriculum and all the best books, and I stacked them up, and then I went to Lila, you know, and said, okay, Lila, for the next 17 to 18 years, I want you to systematically read through these things and obey. Obey me and obey the Lord. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, she would never happen. How is she going to learn to obey her parents? How is she going to learn to obey the Lord? It's going to be through me spending time with her, gaining her trust by loving her, serving her, helping her, encouraging her, correcting her, disciplining her, modeling for her what it looks like to walk in obedience, modeling for her what it looks like to walk in obedience to the Lord, correcting her along the way. It's only through that that she is going to raise up and not be a terror to herself and others, but to be a loving person. And in the same way, like, that's discipleship. Parenthood is awesome because it's part about you and your child, but it's also heavily discipleship intensive where you're teaching your child to follow the Lord as well. But that's any discipleship relationship. That's you identifying some people that God's brought into your life and being willing to invest time, being willing to build a relationship with them. There's two things that I've heard related to this that have been really impactful for me. And one of them is just someone, I don't remember if I read it or if I heard it, but I'm just going to say, as I've always said, discipleship travels at the speed of relationships. Like, that rings true. Like, we're never going to be able to live out the purpose of making disciples apart from having meaningful relationships with people. And then what makes this even more challenging is, I'd heard before as well, is that relationships are the most inefficient thing in our life. They're the most, there's no secret formula to them. They're the most inefficient thing in our life, but they are the most important. And they are the most important because it's through relationships that we carry out our purpose of making disciples. But it takes time. And I know I've been in your seat before, and even like, if you want to be convicted about this, prepare to teach on it. And you'll realize how much you're falling short and how much you can pick up your game in this area. But as I was thinking about it, and what you may be thinking is, man, well, that sounds like a lot of time. Like, a ton. And you're right. Like, to make disciples takes a lot of time. And so here's the truth. The vast majority of you, almost all of you, you're not called to vocational ministry with, like, you're going to do this for your job. But every single one of you who has a relationship with Christ is called to full-time ministry. Like, there's no wiggle room in it. Every single one of you who have a relationship with Christ is called to full-time ministry. And so as we think about that and we think about what our purpose is, if you don't have time to make disciples, it's because you're spending too much time on other things. It's that simple. If you don't have time to make disciples, you are spending too much time on other things. What are those other things? I don't know. I don't know what that is for you. It could be a lot of different ones, and we'll maybe dive into what some of those are. But one of my favorite books is called The Master Plan of Evangelism. It's a little book. I don't like big books. They intimidate me, but somehow I've been able to get through God's Word, just break it down bite-sized pieces, which you'll learn in Equip Disciple. But it's a little book, and it talks about what can we learn from Jesus' life about how to make disciples. And the whole thing is really good. The one line that I remember clearly, which I have a bad habit of remembering one line, the author says this about Jesus. He said Jesus' life was ordered around his objective. Everything that he did was ordered around his objective. And in the same way, he's given us, another way to say it is, his life was ordered around his purpose. And in the same way, our life should be ordered around the purpose of making disciples. Everything we do should be informed by that purpose. And that's not saying other things are bad, but the way we spend time in other things should be informed by that purpose. So our purpose is not to get married. Our purpose is not to raise the perfect kids in the best school district in the best neighborhood. Our purpose is not to be the boss or the CEO of the company we work for. Our purpose is not to dribble our life in the direction of being successful and making a lot of money. It is not to dribble our life in the direction of enjoying the best vacations. It is not to have a purpose geared toward having a comfortable retirement. Our life is not to be geared around the purpose or moving in the direction of just living for ourselves and our own desires. But oftentimes, if we take an honest look at our life, that's what our life is ordered around. But our life is to be ordered around the purpose of making disciples. Another way to say it is that this purpose should inform the plans and practices of our life. This purpose should inform the plans and the practices of our life. And so let me show you what I mean by that as it relates to marriage. Okay? So when we think about our purpose of making disciples, then marriage no longer becomes about what can my spouse do for me. But instead, marriage becomes about the purpose of how can I love my spouse as Christ has loved the church? How can I be a living picture of dying to myself to serve someone else by doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but considering my spouse as more important than myself and living out the gospel? When it comes to children, instead of about having the perfect kids and protecting them from the world, it becomes about how do I train them up above all else to love Jesus? Not that other things are bad, but that's the most important. How do I order a relationship with them around training them up to love Jesus Christ? When it comes to your vocation, your purpose is no longer your job. Like, that's not what you live for. So you no longer look at your job as something that's supposed to bring you fulfillment in life. But instead, your job becomes the means through which you have your needs met while you fulfill your purpose. Because your ultimate fulfillment comes from making disciples. And then the other thing on that, as it relates to your vocation and your job, it's not meant to bring you fulfillment, but also a big reality is that you will spend likely up to about 40% of your life at work. Okay, so like you can't separate vocation from discipleship. But what that means is one of your greatest mission fields that you carry out that purpose is through your vocation, whatever that may be. How else it informs our plans with the purpose of making disciples is that as it relates to stewardship and money, stewardship of money and possessions. Those things are no longer used to build up my kingdom, but used as a resource to serve others, to love God, to love others, and to train them up. When it comes to leisure time is no longer what we use to escape from reality, but instead it's a time to rest and be refueled so that we can engage with reality and real relationships with people to train them up to follow Christ. Everything is ordered around this. As it relates to relationships in general, it's no longer what can these people offer me, but it becomes the means through which you love others well by making disciples. And when it comes to the church, church no longer becomes something that you attend once a week, but it's something that you are every single day of the week, every single hour of the day as you live out your purpose. And so there's a group of people that I get to spend time with every single week on Thursday nights. We have a ministry called Equip Disciple, which we've mentioned a few times. And in particular, there's this one circle of young adults who every time I see one of them, they talk on and on and on and on about how great that ministry is. And what I love about it is they're not really talking about the ministry of Equip Disciple. What they're talking about is the ministry of their leaders in their life. And they're talking about the Gossetts. If you don't know the Gossetts, I hope you have the chance to get to know them someday. And what all these young adults tell me over and over and over again is not about what they're doing on Thursday nights, but about how Byron and Tricia invest in them hours every single week. They took an interest to build a relationship, to get to know where they're from, to get to know their stories, to get to know what victories they're experiencing in life, to get to know what struggles they're walking through, and not just to get to know about it, but then to engage and say, hey, in the midst of this, hey, let me encourage you about how you can follow Christ in this way. And they're not only telling them these things, they're inviting these young adults into their life to know what's going on, and they're modeling for them what it looks like to follow Christ. They are ordering their life around the objective of making disciples, and it is making a tremendous impact. And the truth is, God wants to use you to do that in other people's lives. But in order to do so, you have to get your purpose from Jesus. You have to know that purpose is making disciples. And then the last thing that Jesus tells them as we look at this verse is he gives them like a comforting promise. And so he said, hey, I have the authority to determine the purpose of your life. Here's what it is. And then take comfort in this. He tells them simply, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. There's something curious about this. It's like, okay, like that's comforting. I know that you're with me, but you also just told me you're about to leave. So what does this mean? It begs the question, how is Jesus with us? And what does that mean? And so the third point will be that Jesus is the power for our purpose. And so I'm going to tell you how the presence of Christ in our life provides the power for us to live out our purpose. And so Jesus is present with us today. He's present with you today in three ways: through his Spirit, through his Word, and through his people. He's with us through his Spirit, through his Word, and through his people. So here's where the power comes from. You know, we've been walking through the book of Acts with Todd and JP for a while. periodically, whenever there's not interruptions. And very early on in the book of Acts, this is also like one of the last conversations that Jesus had with the disciples, and he tells them, he says, you know, I'm going to go, but when I go, someone else is going to come. It's going to be a helper. And he says, and when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so, like, the benefit of that is, like, Jesus only, as a man, only had the ability to be present with a few people at one time. But the benefit is now that he's gone and he's sent his Spirit, he is present in the life of every single believer at all times. And it is his presence that gives you the power to carry out your purpose. He's also present with us through his Word. John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You skipped in a little bit further, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God's Word, and we connect, we build a relationship with him through the Word of God. So he's present with us through his Word, and he's also present with us through his people. You know, I get to talk to people a lot who are walking through tough times and walking through tragedy, and even who are just isolated. And the one question that they all seem to ask is, where is God when I'm hurting? Like, where is he? He's in the room. Like, he's sitting around you right now. The metaphor for the church used throughout Scripture is the body of Christ. The church is the manifestation of Christ on earth today. And so, in order to be connected, that it's the means through which we're discipled, it's the means through which we're encouraged, it's the means through which we're corrected, it's the means through which we grow. And so, to have the power of Jesus in your life, you have to be connected through him with his Spirit, which you already have. If you're a believer, it's being connected with him through spending time in his Word, and it's through being connected by the body of Christ. So this is real simple. Like, how do you, like, there's the how of, like, the actual application of how you make disciples, and there's the how of, okay, how am I, where's my strength going to come from to carry out this purpose? And it's real simple. I want you to think about a lamp. This is like the simplest illustration ever. You put a lamp on a table, you turn it on, nothing happens. Okay? What do you have to do to get the lamp to come on? You simply get the plug, and you put it into the power source, and all of a sudden, it comes on. If you want the light to go out, all you have to do is unplug it. You plug it in, it's on. You unplug it, it's off. So what does it look like? What do we need to do in order to carry out our purpose? It's real simple. If you don't want to do this, all you have to do is stop listening to the conviction of the Spirit in your life, close God's Word, and remove yourself from God's people. And you will struggle to live out your purpose. And that may be where some of you are, but there's good news. All you have to do is real simple. It's just like plugging in a light socket. All you have to do to live out that purpose is begin to listen to the conviction of the Spirit in your life. Begin to open up God's Word and build a relationship with the Lord through reading it, through meditating on it, and then through plugging in to God's people, to moving out of isolation and into community. That's it. That's all you have to do to access the power of Christ to live out your purpose. So I want you to think about something. Jesus gets to pick our purpose. He gives us the purpose. It's very simple. It's not complicated. It's to make disciples. And then he gives us the power to do so. But we have a choice to make. All of us have a choice to make. What are we going to do with it? So remember how at the beginning I said, hey, I want you to think about which direction you're dribbling. I want you to think about if your life is on a basketball court right now, and on one end is a goal. And it's your desires, it's your purposes for your life that you would come up with on your own. And on the other end, you have Jesus' purpose for your life. If you're on that court right now, which way are you dribbling? Which way are you dribbling? What are you pursuing success in? When you make a basket, when you're successful and you score, are you going to look back at the end of the game, which you don't know when that's coming, that might be today? Are you going to let out a big sigh? Or is there going to be rejoicing because you were successful in the purpose given to you by your Savior, by the Creator of the heavens and the earth? And so, in summary, we are all living for something. We are trying to figure out what our purpose is. We are trying to find success in life. And Jesus gives us very clearly the direction, the purpose that we have for our life, what we're supposed to be doing, and how we accomplish it. And so, here's the application, okay? If you are at a spot, there's only two responses to this. You're either thinking, I need to get, like, where do I start? Where do I start discipling others? Like, where do I go? And then the other response would be, I need to be discipled, because I would have no idea how to teach someone else how to walk in obedience to Christ. There's a very simple application to it, and it's what we've been talking about a lot of the morning. It's come up a bunch. It's a ministry that we have called Equip Disciple. It literally, the purpose of Equip Disciple is to teach you how to come into a relationship with Christ and how to walk in obedience with Him. And then it equips you with the tools to share the love of Christ with others, and then to help teach them how to come into a relationship with Christ and how to walk into obedience to Him. And really, that's not every ministry that we have is designed to do that. Okay. So the application is to figure out, do you need to be discipled or do you need to start discipling others? There's also a large, this is the last thing I'll say, there's some people in the room who are looking around and you see like this kid up on stage and a bunch of young people in the room, and you start to wonder like, hey, do I fit in here? You know, you're older than the rest of us, and like, do I have a place? And the reason I mention that is because I hear it a lot, and that's a great question. And the answer to that is yes. Like, yes, you do have a place, and that place is to be here to help make disciples, to come in, to build, like, we want to know you. We want to build a relationship with you, and we want you to help teach us how to walk with Christ. Okay. And so you either need to be discipled or start making disciples. And if you don't know where to start, and you want to know more information on how to do that, on that little card and on your Watermark News, there's the first impressions. You can tear it out. Just say, hey, I want to be discipled, which means we're going to get you partnered up with one of our ministries led by people who invest in you, or I'm ready to make disciples, and we can point you in the direction of how to do that. So my hope is that through this, you will have a very clear understanding of what your purpose is, and that you will move your direction in being successful in the right things, living out the purpose given you by Christ, which is to make disciples. Let me pray for you. Well, Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you're God. That you created everything, the expanse of this universe, but yet you take specific interest in each one of us as individuals. And out of your love for us, we were running from you. You ran towards us. You left the comfort of heaven to come and give yourself so that we might have life. You died for us. And you've given us a purpose that is greater than anything we can ever live for in this life. So I pray that in my life, I would acknowledge your authority because of who you are and what you've done. I pray that I would clearly understand what you want me to do, which is to invest in a relationship with other people, to make disciples, and to order my life around this objective. And I pray that I would avail myself to the power to do so through your word, your spirit, your people. And I pray the same for all my friends in the room. I pray that there's anyone here that doesn't know where to begin or know where to start, that they would just raise their hand and say, would you help? Would you help me? Would you teach me to walk in obedience to Christ? Or would you help me find out where I can teach others to do the same? I pray that this would just happen in this building. I pray that this would happen in neighborhoods, in workplaces, in Fort Worth, DFW, Texas, in the U.S., to the remotest parts of the earth. And that we would be intentional to make disciples anywhere we are and everywhere we are. So we love you.